Christian greetings this morning. I greet you in the name of Christ. I was thinking about, it's a Christmas season, and isn't it amazing that Christ created the world, was before the foundation of the world, and yet was willing to come as a babe and come and die, live and die, teach us, and then rise again so that we can know him personally, so that we can know him today. He's alive today. Appreciated the song that Cliff picked right before the message, or before, after Sunday school there, My Anchor Holds. There was a verse that I connected with. Sometimes in life, there's things that come up that tend to shake our being. Shake the things that are maybe our foundation or kind of rocks our world. Verse 3, it says, I can feel the anchor fast as I meet each sudden blast, and the cable, though unseen, bears the heavy strain between. Through the storm I safely ride till the turning of the tide. Do you feel that anchor as things come up in your life, as you face difficult things? Is there something solid that you have to hang on to? I trust that there is. There can be. There is. That anchor's available to whoever was willing to reach out and take a hold of it. I'd like to open this morning with a little story. I came across a story. How many of you are familiar with the Still Waters, the little booklet, the devotional? Number of you have it? I think we just got one for January, February, March. And I flipped the cover open, and there's a little story right inside the front page. Take some time to read it, but I copied that story down. I'd like to share it this morning. I paraphrased it a little bit, but I just like to share it. It says, a young man stands with a puzzled expression. He turns this way and that way, completely baffled as to what direction he should take. In his hand, he holds a compass, and he notices that consistently and steadily, the compass points in one direction. But alas, it points up a steep mountain with a rocky, difficult path. The young man stands perplexed. How can the way home be over that steep, rocky path? Isn't there another way home that's more pleasant? How are others finding their way? He soon catches sight of a distant weather vane. When he turns in the direction that the weather vane points, the wind is to his back. Besides, it points down a pleasant pathway, winding down toward a grassy valley. The weather vane, it wavers a little bit, but it continues pointing in the general direction of the prevailing wind. Home. I need to get home. But which way do I go? What way shall I take? The compass is steady, but the direction looks strenuous. The weather vane, it wavers a little, but the path is easy. Surely I could make better time on the comfortable way home, on the comfortable way, and get home sooner. I do need to get home before nightfall. Caught in indecision, he battles with his thoughts. But time doesn't stop. While the young man continues the debate in his mind over the easiest way home, his steps are taking him down the grassy slope toward the green valley below. Ere long, he has covered a considerable distance. He pauses and turns back to verify his direction. But the weather vane has long been out of sight. He scans his surroundings and soon finds another weather vane. It's pointing in a little different direction. Again, it doesn't agree with the compass, but showed another pleasant path with the wind to his back. So the young man wanders on and on and on from one weather vane to the next. Night comes, and he does not make it home. God's word is like that compass for the Christian. It points in one direction. It never changes, and it does not waver. It always shows the way home. Its course does not always look pleasant or easy, but it's the only route to the desired destination. Today, many people are seeking the right way home, but are taking their direction From the prevailing winds of society, they turn this way and that way, ever anxious to accommodate the easiest path, and thus they wander through life. Night comes, but they're not home. Is it because they don't know? This young man didn't reach home because he failed to yield his will to the compass that was pointing toward home. He desired an easier way. He desired a way without a cross. And that's a title that I'd like to use this morning. The title of the message is Embracing Your Cross. I think we're all, if you're like me, well, we are. We're just, it's no secret, we're all human. We all have those human tendencies that we don't like conflict and we like things to be easy. We have a desire to take the path with least resistance. But that's not reality in life. That's not reality for the Christian life. This morning, this past week, as I was thinking about preaching this morning, I don't get to preach very often. It's a big deal to me to preach. And I spent some time in prayer, and as I prayed, you think about the congregation, each one of you. And as I prayed for you by name, you think about any one of your brothers or sisters and the things that you're facing in your life. And you know, you pick out any name and you say, you know, he does have a cross. God be with him. Strengthen him as he goes through this experience or that experience. And I guess it was maybe surprising to me that as I went through our congregation and picked out, I think I picked out everybody's name, but there's a cross that everybody, every one of you, is carrying in one way or another. Whether you're a young person trying to find God's will for your life, you're a family man, we have one chance to be a dad, to be a father in our home. There's a cross that goes with that. Busy moms, finding your place. And then even bigger, sometimes there's even bigger things that come into our experience. We all have a cross. We all have a cross to carry. Some of the crosses that we face are more obvious or bigger than others, but we do all face some challenges. This morning, as I share what the Lord has laid on my heart, I'd like us to each, as you think about your life, if we could mentally pick out one thing that God is asking you to do that seems to be difficult. And there's so many, there's probably thousands and more of different things that could come up in our lives that can be a cross. But can you just think of one thing that you're facing this morning? Just think of one specific thing. And I'd like to for us to keep that in mind as we go through the message this morning, that one thing. Maybe it's just being a better father or a better husband or wife, being a better leader in your home. Do you ever get the feeling that the water is just right up to your nose with responsibility, financial obligations, just knowing what to do next? That can be a cross. Sometimes the path that God is asking you to walk, you look at it and, you know, there isn't even a path there. You don't even know where to put your next step. Sometimes that can be a difficult cross to carry or to walk. Could be a broken relationship like we talk about in Sunday school. God wants us to have peaceful relationships, and maybe there's a relationship that's stressed. The list can go on and on, but think this morning, personally, think about your own life and something that God is asking you to do that It might be a difficult thing to do. And I'd like to, there's three things that I'd like to, maybe three main points, goals for this morning. I'd like to encourage each of us to accept the circumstances that God has allowed in our lives. If somehow we can just think about, talk about accepting the circumstances, it's so important that we do that. And number two is to reach out to God for strength to walk faithfully through today. And the third one is to identify some blessings even in embracing these difficulties that we face. Turn to Psalm 73. Psalms chapter 73. There's a story here. As I was studying, I just kind of connected with it because, well, I think I know how the psalmist feels a little bit. Psalms chapter 73, as we read down through this, see if you can connect with the writer here. I'd like to start, start at verse 1. Psalm 73, truly God is good to Israel, even to such as are of a clean heart. But as for me, my feet were almost gone, my steps had well nigh slipped. For I was envious at the foolish when I saw their prosperity of the wicked. For there are no bands in their death, but their strength is firm. They are not in trouble as other men, neither are they plagued like other men. Therefore pride compassed them about as a chain, violence covered them as a garment. Their eyes stand out with fatness, they have more than their heart could wish. They are corrupt and speak wickedly concerning oppression. They speak loftily. They set their mouth against the heavens, and their tongue walketh through the earth. Therefore his people return hither, and waters are full. Waters of a full cup are wrung out to them. And how they say, how doth God know? And is there knowledge in the Most High? Behold, these are the ungodly who prosper in the world and increase in riches. Verily I have cleansed my heart in vain and washed my hands in innocency. For all the day long have I been plagued and chastened every morning. If I say I will speak thus, behold, I should offend against the generation of thy children. When I thought to know this, it was too painful for me. Do you get the picture here? The psalmist, the writer here, I think he was just, how can this be? This is so unfair. And when I think about my cross, when you think about the cross that you face, doesn't it sometimes just seem like this just, it just shouldn't be this way? It shouldn't be this way. When I thought to know this, it was too painful for me. I don't want this to happen to me. Verse 17, he goes into the sanctuary of God, and then he understands their end, and he gets the bigger picture. And this morning, if somehow we could just back up a few steps, and the cross that you picked out, the thing that you're thinking about, can we just back up a little bit, and somehow maybe God could show us through his word the bigger picture? I think I keep saying David. I'm not sure who wrote this song. Maybe it was David. But when he backed up and went into the sanctuary of the Lord and got a bigger picture and understood their end, we could read on down through. Maybe we'll just take time to do that. Verse 18, surely thou didst set them in slippery places. Thou castest them down into destruction. How are they brought into desolation? As in a moment, they are utterly consumed with terrors. As a dream, when one awaketh, so, O Lord, when thou awakest, thou shalt despise their image. Thus my heart was grieved, and I was pricked in my reins. So foolish was I and ignorant. I was as a beast, therefore, before thee. Nevertheless, I am continually with thee. Thou hast holden me by my right hand. Thou shalt guide me with thy counsel, and afterward receive me to glory. Whom have I in heaven but thee? And there is none upon the earth that I desire besides thee. My flesh and my heart faileth, but God is the strength of my heart and my portion forever. For, lo, they that are far from thee shall perish. Thou hast destroyed all them that go whoring from thee. Verse 28, but it is good for me to draw near to God. I have put my trust in the Lord God, that I may declare all thy works. The psalmist, the writer, seems like the first part of the chapter there, he's focusing on himself and the distress and the things that he's facing. But in the last part, after he goes into the sanctuary and he looks at it from God's perspective, it just seems like it takes the pressure off. It just relieves him. And I desire that for each of us this morning as we look into the Word of God, that we would be able to find peace in the midst of these difficult experiences. Number one, the goal of this message is to encourage us to accept the circumstances that God has allowed in our lives. Million-dollar question. How can I just accept the circumstances that God brings into my life? This cross is painful. This cross is heavy. It's real. It's not fair. I don't like it. Do you know how that feels? I do. To some extent, anyway. I think we all have experienced that. How can I accept the circumstances? The answer? I really believe that the answer is that we cannot and we will not accept these circumstances until we choose to surrender our life and its circumstances to God. Let's just turn to Romans 7. Another portion of scripture here that I think applies to this. We know Romans 7 and the teaching that there is there. The last part of the chapter, somehow this sort of depicts my experience with dealing with these crosses. Start at verse 15, read to verse 25 of Romans chapter 7. For that which I do, I allow not. For what I would, that do I not. But what I hate, that do I. If then I do that which I would not, I consent unto the law that it is good. Now then it is no more I that do it, but sin that dwelleth in me. For I know that in me, that is in my flesh, dwelleth no good thing. For to will is present with me, but how to perform that which is good I find not. For the good that I would, I do not, but the evil which I would not, that I do. Now if I do that I would not, it is no more I that do it, but sin that dwelleth in me. If I find then a law that when I would do good, evil is present with me. For I delight in the law of God afterward the inward man. But I see another law in my members, warring against the law of my mind and bringing me into captivity to the law of sin which is in my members. Verse 24, a wretched man that I am, who shall deliver me from the death of this body? Do you see the picture there? I want to do what's right. I want to accept the circumstances that God brings into my life, but it's so hard to do. It's so difficult. And there's this battle in our minds and in our life. It's frustrating. Is there an answer? Is there a solution? What is the solution? Look at verse 25. I thank God through Jesus Christ our Lord. Brothers and sisters, that's the only way to get deliverance from the crosses that we face, is by surrendering our life to Jesus. Verse 8, as we do that, there is therefore now no condemnation to them which are in Christ, who walk not after the flesh, but after the Spirit. God, do you believe that God has the power to deliver you from that one thing that you picked out? Can he do that? Intellectually, we know that he can, but to feel that can be difficult at times. But I think one of the first steps in accepting the circumstances is to choose to allow God to deliver us from the bondage of our flesh and ask him to indwell us with his power and strength to overcome that and to surrender to that. How much of my life is spent wishing that things would be different? Too many times I struggle with these things in my life and I wish it was different, when rather, if we just learn to accept the circumstances, we can grow. Step number two in accepting the cross, ask God to help me believe and show me somehow that he is doing it for my good. You remember the story, the real familiar story in Genesis 50, where Joseph was sold into Egypt, and you know that whole story, and at the end of the the end of the very end of the book, I think it's the last chapter in Genesis, his dad, their Jacob, dies, and the brothers are scared. They're afraid that Joseph's going to do something to them. And you remember what Joseph said? As for you, you thought evil against me, but God meant it unto good, to bring it to pass, as it is this day, to save much people alive. Trusting by faith in God's goodness will make a difference in how we accept the cross. I encourage each of us this morning, somehow, even though we don't feel like accepting that, even though the flesh retaliates against that, just accept it by faith. First comes faith, and then the feelings can follow that. Step number three in accepting the cross is to ask God to show you his goodness. In Nahum chapter 1, verse 7, the Lord is good, a stronghold in the day of trouble, and he knoweth them that trust him. Are you convinced that God really has your best interest in mind? Again, I think that's something that we need to accept by faith. And as we accept it by faith, it can be transformed. You remember, I think it was last year, Virgil Hershberger was here. I'm trying to remember the title, A Sword in Gethsemane, maybe. And I remember this little phrase that he shared, or this little story. I'm not positive that I have all the details correct, but his wife had passed away from cancer. And I think his boy was in the hospital from an accident at work. And he was called into the hospital. And I remember him sharing that, I guess the situation was very desperate and serious with his son. And he just felt like, God, I just can't handle this anymore. I just can't take one more cross. And I remember he shared with us that he had to go for a walk, and he just asked God, God, show me your goodness one more time. And he went for a walk, and God did answer his prayer. God did show him his goodness. And in that case, I think his son was okay. It worked out. But God, I was impressed with that little story and the need to see God's goodness. Ask God to show you his goodness. He helps to get our focus off of ourselves. When God reveals his goodness to us and his ability to provide for us, the choice to accept the cross becomes much easier. Step number four in accepting the cross is by not looking for a way out. Again, that maybe is contrary to our nature, but did you notice in the little story what the young man did? He was debating. He had the compass in his hand that was pointing in the right direction, and yet there's a weather vane, and which way should he go? And he hesitates in indecision. While he was absorbed in the frustration of indecision, what was he doing? He was walking down the path toward pleasing self, walking away from the cross. Think about your cross again this morning. While we grapple with surrender, there's fruit coming from our lives. While we're in that valley of indecision or trying to surrender, trying to find our way, there's fruit coming from our lives. Don't delay. Don't delay. That fruit that comes from our life when we're frustrated from not accepting the cross is not good fruit. Just yield yourself to God. And I talked to myself this morning. This whole message is to me. Don't look for a shortcut. Don't look for another way out. Let's just pick up the cross that God's asking us to take. When God shows you what to do, when you take that compass, oftentimes, here again, I speak from my frame of reference. Oftentimes, when there's a decision, I sort of know what the right thing is to do, but I just don't want to do it. You know what that's like? When God tells you what to do, we need to do it. There's no shortcut that leads home. Step number five Lead your heart with truth rather than following your heart with feelings. If you feel like you cannot accept the cross, I think we need to be fair with ourselves and acknowledge that sometimes there are things that are very difficult to face. And we don't just criticize ourselves and push it under the carpet. Come on, you got to get over this. Let's go. Let's be fair with ourselves. They are difficult times. But in those times, don't let your feelings lead you. We need to let the facts, we need to let faith drive us and propel us into what is right and not feelings. The difference between natural man and the man of God is that the man of God will lead his heart with truth rather than follow his natural feelings. Don't be caught in that trap. That trap is a hole. It's that one lesson or one question in our adult Sunday school lesson was about the emptiness of carnality. It's just a trap. It's an empty hole. When we follow our natural feelings, there's no bottom in that situation. But follow truth. Truth of God's word can give us direction. How do I access the second main point? How do I access God's strength to walk faithfully today? I think the first thing we need to do is ask for it. There's scripture after scripture that God's, Matthew 7, verse 7 and 8, ask and it shall be given to you. Seek and ye shall find. Knock and it'll be open. For everyone that asketh, receiveth. And if we seek, we find. To him that knocketh, it shall be opened. Ask God for the strength. You know what? Jesus, God loves people that can't do things. He loves to help. I think when people can do, you know, I don't need God because I can do it, I think God just removes his blessing and his strength from those kind of situations. But when we fall on our knees and ask God, he just loves to reach down and help us and to give us the strength that we need. Call upon me, Psalms 50, verse 15, call upon me in the day of trouble and I will deliver thee and thou shalt glorify me, just by reaching out to God. If you're facing that cross that you're thinking about, just reach out to God and glorify him by asking for his help. Romans 8:26, likewise the Spirit also helpeth our infirmities, for we know not what we should pray for as we ought, but the Spirit itself maketh intercession for us with groanings which cannot be uttered. Isn't that wonderful? When we face those really difficult things and times, do you ever kneel down to pray and you just don't even know what to say? Well, praise God that his Spirit can intercede for us. Number two, access God's strength by walking in obedience. My mind went to Psalm 66, verse 18. If I regard iniquity in my heart, the Lord will not hear me. We can't do this. We will not be faithful. We will not be able to take on the responsibility that we have if we regard iniquity in our heart. John 14:23, Jesus said unto them, if a man love me, he will keep my words. My Father will love him. We will come in to him, and we will make our abode with him. If you want to have a victorious experience in cross-bearing, just allow Christ to come in and abide with you. When we're walking in obedience to what God has asked of us, God has promised that he will come in, make his abode with us. Number three, access God's strength by realizing that he governs all crosses. It'd be interesting to go around and have you share a verse that comes to your mind. God, there is no temptation taking you, but such as is common to man. And God will be able to deliver us. 1 John 4:4, you're of God, little children, and have overcome them, because greater is he that is in you than he that is in the world. God delights in helping us, and also in governing anything that comes into our experience. Number four, access God's strength by searching for and reciting his promises. He gave us his word, and it's loaded with promises and helps. I'll give you just a couple references and just read down across what I have. Psalms 34, verse 19 says, many are the afflictions of the righteous, but the Lord delivereth him out of them all. Psalms 138, verse 7. Though I walk in the midst of trouble, thou wilt revive me. Thou shalt stretch forth thine hand against the wrath of mine enemies, and thy right hand shall save me. Psalms 34, verse 15. The eyes of the Lord are open. The eyes of the Lord are upon the righteous, and his ears are open unto their cry. Search for and recite his promises. I think I have, there's a number of, you can find lots of them. They're all over the scriptures. But if you want to have victory and you want to be able to conquer that cross, then put some effort into searching out the promises that God has for you. And I think that reciting those is an excellent way to help us overcome that also. When you're battling with that cross, to verbally recite a verse or a promise can be tremendously helpful and beneficial. Number five, the access God's strength by reaching out to others. God didn't place us here alone. This morning I'm thankful for each one of you that are here as a brotherhood, that we can fellowship, even get together Sunday morning. Reach out to each other. John 12, verse 26. If any man serve me, let him follow me. Where I am, there shall also my servant be. If any man will serve me, him will my Father honor. Reaching out to others helps to take our focus off of ourselves. You know, the whole problem with a lot of this cross-bearing, the frustrating part of cross-bearing, is because we turn our attention inward and we think about ourselves and how frustrating it is for me. But when we can turn that around with God's help and reach out to others, take our focus off of ourselves and our problems, reach out to them. Rather than meditating on the pain of our cross, let's find a way to help lighten another's load. You know, this morning, there's a lot of crosses that are here. There's a lot of, it's just life. It's normal. It's okay. But there's just lots of opportunities to reach out as a brother, as a friend, a sister, and lighten the load and be in a spiritual an encouragement. Reach out to others. Access God's strength by reaching out to others. The third main point, the last point that I like to just read down across, what are some blessings of embracing our cross? What are some of the blessings of embracing our cross? Can there be any good out of these difficult situations? We know that there can. The blessing of a cross, it helps us to realize our need of God. It does. It just does. As we face these things, we realize that we can't do it, and we just need help. And I encourage you this morning, reach out. Realize your need of God. Reach out to him. Number two, it helps to give us a right perspective of ourselves in relation to others. John mentioned that, and we talked about it in Sunday school. The ground is level at the foot of the cross. We're all equal. It helps to give us the right perspective of ourselves. Number three, it helps us to see our need of others. We need God, but it also shows us our need for others. It helps us to acknowledge our weaknesses. Number five, it helps us to long for heaven. As these difficulties come, do you ever wish that, you know, even so, come, Lord Jesus? Helps us to keep our focus where it belongs. Number six, it confirms that we are weak and needy. Number seven, it makes us thirst for depth of meaning. Isn't there answers? Do you ever find yourself asking that question? Isn't there a solution? Isn't there a reason? And there is. And it makes us search for that. Number eight, it can help us pull our focus away from earthly and material pursuits. And it secures the blessing and power of God, and it can help us to grow in our spiritual walk. This morning, as we think about these specific needs in your life, as you picked out maybe one thing that might be a challenge in your life, God can help you conquer that one thing. I promise you. And I, this morning in our time together, may you understand that God does He's just waiting for us to reach out to him and to pour his power and his blessing and his strength into that particular circumstance to help us through that. If we reach out in humble submission and accept him, he'll be there for us. In closing this morning, I'd like to read, it's a song that's in one of our books, "The Cross Is Not Greater Than His Grace." I really, really appreciated these words. It says this: the cross that he gave may be heavy, but it never outweighs his grace. The storm that I feared, it might surround me, but it never excludes his face. The thorns in my path are not sharper than composed his crown for me. The cup that I drank, not more bitter than Jesus drank in Gethsemane. The light of his love shineth brighter as it falls on paths of woe. The toil of my work groweth lighter as I stoop to raise the low. His will have I joy in fulfilling as I'm walking in his sight. May all to the blood I am bringing, it alone can keep me right. And the refrain: the cross is not greater than his grace. Storm cannot hide his blessed face. I'm satisfied to know that with Jesus here below, we can conquer every foe. Let's remember that. God bless you, and let's pray. Lord Jesus, we're thankful for your word that gives us direction. Father, I just pray for each one of the brothers and sisters here this morning. There are many different crosses that we face, but this morning I claim your promise, and I thank you for your promise that you will be there for us and you will help us to walk through whatever you've allowed in our life. I just pray that you would minister strength and grace to the brothers and sisters here as they face challenges in their lives. Help them to realize the importance of following the compass of your word, to not taking the easy route, to not giving up under the pressure of doing what's right. But Father, rather that we would give up ourselves and just reach out to you in your hand and allow you to carry us and help us through. Again, I just pray that you would minister grace to each one here this morning in whatever cross that they are facing. Thank you for your presence and your strength. And we just ask that you would go with us today. Bless our little time of sharing tonight at Christmas caroling. Lord, there's needs. There's things that other people are facing. And help us to reach out with love, to lift up the weak. And most of all, Lord Jesus, that we would point them to you, because you are the answer for the difficulties that the world faces. Help us to make that a reality in our own hearts as we surrender our lives to you. Bless each one according to your will. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.